BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Morris, and welcome to Crosstalk. It was last night, somewhere around 10 o'clock, when my family and I, my son and my wife, stopped at a McDonald's hamburger place, no commercial intended, but for a bite to eat. And the TV up in the corner, I think it was CNN at that time, was on the air, and they were announcing that there would be forthcoming an announcement from the White House on some very important national security issue. Well, we sat there and finished our burger and watched the news, but already the information started coming out even before the president made his statement. The fact that Osama bin Laden had been killed. The issue, of course, has brought celebration all over the world. The issue of the New York site of the devastation where the Twin Towers went down. Ground Zero became a place of celebration. Outside of the White House, there were cheers that were going up. People were chanting USA, USA. Down in the subways, people were in the subway cars singing the national anthem. Such patriotism. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But what has happened, of course, 10 years later, is that the mastermind behind the terrible attack on our country was taken down. I imagine it was kind of like when the children of Israel saw little David with his slingshot go out and conquer Goliath, and the roar of approval and, of course, the fleeing of the enemy as well. Well, today we're going to be talking with David Rubin, who is a Middle East expert. He is a former mayor who himself was affected by terror. When he and his three-year-old son were hit with bullets while driving several years ago, callers, we're going to be talking about this issue. David, first of all, I want to say welcome to Crosstalk. You're not a stranger to us, but we're so glad to have you back.
Thank you, Vic. It's good to be back with you.
David, you were a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, in the region of Samaria, known to much of the world as the West Bank. You're the founder and president of Shiloh Israel's Children's Fund, dedicated to easing the trauma of children who have been victims of terrorist attacks, as well as rebuilding the biblical heartland of Israel. And the fund was established after you and your three-year-old son were wounded in a vicious terrorist attack while driving home from Jerusalem. Now, you vowed to retaliate, but not with hatred or anger, but with compassion. Tell us about that.
Well, nobody expects to get wounded in a terrorist attack, and I certainly didn't expect it either. Although we knew that it was a possibility, we had seen so much terrorism just in our own community of Shiloh. We had seen so many children who had been killed or wounded, the parents killed or wounded, teachers killed or wounded in terrorist attacks. And we were always aware that it could happen to us. Well, one day we were coming back from Jerusalem, driving in our car, and suddenly there was a massive hail of bullets on the car. And I was driving. My three-year-old son was sitting behind me in the baby seat. The car was hit with bullets. The car was dead. It wasn't starting, and I got shot in the leg. I saw four-ounce sparks whizzing past my eyes. And I soon realized that my son had also been wounded, that he had been shot in the head, that a bullet had gone into his head where the skull meets with the neck. A bullet went through his neck. It missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. We miraculously were able to start the car and get away from the terrorists and to get to an ambulance.
What would have been the provocation? I mean, you were here as a dad and son driving through the streets. Was it retaliation against you or what? What was the score?
No, that was all it was. There was no provocation. It was a dad and a son coming back from Jerusalem in their private car. There was no indication. It didn't say former mayor of Shiloh on the car. There was no indication of anyone targeting us specifically. However, what they do in that area is to target Jews, to target Israelis.
Uh-huh.
This is right near where the Palestinian Authority is based, and so we were wounded. We miraculously survived the attack, and as a result of that, I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund because we saw personally what trauma from the horror of terrorism is.
Well, the father of terrorism, Osama bin Laden, has certainly brought fear to the hearts of people and terror and the destruction of humanity. Though the death of Osama bin Laden is welcome news to most Westerners, his death is being condemned by the same group that has seized control of Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, which has filled the power vacuum left there when Mubarak was ousted from power, and has angrily denounced bin Laden's killing as an assassination.
Well, of course. Did you expect anything different?
Yeah.
First of all, let me just say that It is definitely a cause for rejoicing when an evil person like Osama bin Laden is killed, and it's certainly just to see someone like that be killed. However, having said all that, I think that we have to understand that what we're facing now is a terrible terror threat that has not gone away. We in Israel have seen so many targeted killings by the Israeli government where terrorists were targeted, the heads of the Hamas, which is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, was killed some years ago. It didn't change the situation. The terrorists are there, the ideology is there, and it's not a matter of individuals, even someone so evil and so influential as Osama bin Laden.
You know, it's obvious that over these 10 years that it's taken to subdue bin Laden, that there has been a growing educational mechanism that has been fomenting this ideology throughout the radical Islam community all over the world.
There's no question about that, and Osama bin Laden was a big part of that, of establishing this educational infrastructure. But as you said, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the largest terrorist force throughout the Middle East, is condemning the killing of Osama bin Laden. The Hamas terrorist organization, which, by the way, it hasn't yet made the news or the front pages in America, but the Hamas terrorist organization and the Fatah terrorist organization, which together make the Palestinian Authority, they are uniting. There's going to be a pact signed in Egypt on Wednesday, and those two terrorist forces are uniting to confront Israel. The Hamas also came out against the assassination of Osama bin Laden.
Well, you know, Egypt's supposed democratic revolutionaries are condemning the death of this notorious terrorist. And the Muslim Brotherhood seems to think bin Laden should not have been killed.
I'm not surprised by that. The Muslim Brotherhood is in cahoots with al-Qaeda. And we have to remember, and this is something that the West, the people in the West, people in the United States, they're good-hearted people, but they do not want to face difficult realities sometimes. And the reality is that all they have to do is connect the dots, and they will see a clear line from the Muslim Brotherhood, al-Qaeda, to the Hamas, to the Hezbollah, all of these terrorist organizations, Islamic Jihad, there is occasionally rivalry between them to see who is going to commit the most terrorist attacks, but they are working together. They're working together. It's the same cause. The ultimate goal is the takeover of Western civilization, as I detailed in depth in my book, The Islamic Tsunami.
David, the issue of terrorist alerts being issued all over now because of what's happened, do you think we're going to see payback from the religion of peace?
Well, the religion of peace is a misnomer if I ever heard one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were saying in a facetious way, but the fact is Islam does not mean peace, and Islam actually means submission, in meaning that everyone who is not a Muslim is to be subjugated, and women who are Muslims are also to be subjugated. So as far as payback goes, I don't think there is any just payback. They will frequently look for excuses to commit terrorist attacks. We've seen this in Israel many times. There's an Israeli strike against the terrorists, and immediately they're calling for revenge and to kill some children in response.
Seems to me often that their mechanism is set there almost like a mousetrap. If you even have something that's slightly insulting to Islam, or even someone mistreating the Quran or everything, heads will roll. I mean, people will actually lose their heads. And the issue, of course, one big question by many. Of course, we heard about bin Laden being the leader or the mastermind behind it. But do you think in the 10 years that the mantle of responsibility may have already been passed on to someone else, that he was just kind of living out the balance of his life there, that literally there is another leader somewhere, that there'll be no reduction, but the terrorist stuff is going to continue?
Bin Laden was no fool. He knew very well that eventually he was going to be caught up with.
Mm-hmm.
You can only hide for so long.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that he established a terrorist infrastructure in place so that there will be no effective difference within Al-Qaeda and within all of the terrorist organizations, terrorist infrastructure, with him being gone. They've done this in the past in Hamas and Hezbollah. They're aware of that people who are just going to strike at them with targeted killings and are terrified of hurting civilians, they use that cynically to their advantage.
In your book, The Islamic Tsunami, it details the Obama administration's response to terror. Give us a little intimate take on how you feel Obama is handling this and in relationship to the topic of your book.
Yes, well, when President Obama came into office, he made it very clear.
Yes, uh-huh.
He made it very clear that he was changing the terminology of terrorism, and it was no longer going to be called Islamic terrorism.
Hmm.
It was just going to be called terrorism. So I wrote a lot about that in the book.
We're going to take a break then and be right back in 60 seconds today. David Rubin, our guest today, will be right back. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what has the search for extraterrestrial intelligence provided? Any positive results?
Not a lick, Chris. We've been pouring millions of dollars into this research and have nothing to show for it. Recently, a new telescope that would scan the skies for 24 hours a day, employing a wider frequency range and 100 times more power than any previous telescope, joined in the search. Chris, I think their hope is in vain. They're looking for life in space because they want to prove that life came about by natural processes, not needing a creator God. Life is so unthinkably complex that wherever life is found, it will be created life, not evolved life. Creation demands a creator, just like we read about. back in Genesis.
If you would like more on Genesis and the relevance of creation, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
And welcome back to Crosstalk as we're visiting today with David Rubin and the author of the book, The Islamic Tsunami. We were in the process of talking about that when we came up on a hard break. And David, I'll let you continue your desire to write this book and the message you're seeking to convey.
Well, the book came about because I was seeing so much terrorism going on, one terrorist attack after another. And then at the time of that terrible terrorist attack in India, I realized that the terrorism was, in fact, global. It wasn't just Israel. It wasn't just America. It in fact, went way beyond that. And the response to that particular terrorist attack from at that time, President-elect Obama, as well as President Bush, was that we're going to cut off the ugly arm of terrorism, and we're going to cut off the head of terrorism. And I was thinking, you know, terrorist is not a person. Terrorism is not an organization. Terrorism has a name. It has an address. And I realized that after President Obama became elected, that all of a sudden there was no Islamic terrorism anymore. It was just terrorism. The strategy had become the address. And if you don't know what the address is, you cannot fight the problem. Al-Qaeda is not the only terrorist organization, and I heard in President Obama's speech yesterday, last night, that what happened was not an attack on a Muslim leader. It was just, that's what he said. He said Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. Well, of course he's a Muslim leader. His ideology is based on Islam. Vic, you were talking about heads rolling and beheadings. Well, in fact, that goes all the way back to the founder of Islam, Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
who beheaded 700 to 800 Jews in one day by himself. So we're talking about a sick ideology, and obviously Bin Laden was a representative of that, but maybe Osama may be the problem that everyone's talking about right now that we think we have solved. But Obama is an even bigger problem because he doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't understand that what is going on is a struggle against the Islamic ideology, against an Islamic tsunami that is taking over the Middle East and that is seeking to take over the world.
And, you know, I cannot understand this, how can I say this? I'll borrow someone else's title, but this slurpy, slobbering love affair that is going on in America between the liberals and Islam. And that's not original, that term, the slobbering love affair. But someone else used that term, but I'm borrowing it today. Because we're seeing in education, we're seeing in some elementary schools efforts to bring in the Quran. I mean, you dasn't mention a word about the Bible or for Christians to mention Jesus. But instead, if these are people are walking in the door with total approval, nobody raises an issue. I mean, the Minneapolis airport was talking about putting in foot bath machines so that they could wash their feet before they pray. I mean, what other religion? I mean, it blows me away.
There is a very simple reason for that, and the reason is that there is, this is also very, very clearly detailed and documented in my book. There is a strange kind of collusion between the far left, the far secular left in America, and the Islamic ideologues. Their immediate goals are the same. Their end goals are very different. The far left wants to have a secular, communist, one-world government. The Islamic ideologues want to have an Islamic revolution with Sharia law. We've had Islamic law that would make everyone else a second-class citizen. But the immediate goals are the same. Both the Islamic ideologues and the far left call for the destruction of Israel,
mm-hmm.
call for the destruction of Judeo-Christian civilization, call for the destruction of Judaism, of Christianity. So their immediate goals are the same. And that is why they are working together. Unofficially, yes, but they are working together.
You know, they're talking about chains. They're riding the same caboose until they get to the fork in the road. I mean, it's like someone said, it's like riding the devil piggyback if he's going your direction.
Yeah, well, look, it doesn't make sense in terms of their end goals, but the hatred of the United States as a Judeo-Christian civilization and the hatred of Israel are two issues on which they unite.
Where can people get a copy of your book?
The Islamic Tsunami by David Rubin is available on Amazon. Anyone can just go straight to Amazon and order it from there. They can also get the book on through my website, IslamicTsunami.com. Or my other website, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. And they can also just dial a phone number, 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579. And just tell them you want The Islamic Tsunami by David Rubin.
You know, as we're thinking about what's happened, of course, they said, I mean, they're describing now in some more detail, even some video floating around on the cable systems and networks from the helmet cams that were involved as the issue was played out last night. But the issue, again, is after they assumed that they had the right man, and of course there will always be those who say, well, are you absolutely sure? Well, they claim that 99.99 has been proven on the DNA. But the question here is, the White House is saying it was observing Islamic law of the body disposal within 24 hours. A lot of people are saying if they wanted to start a new raft of conspiracy rumors, this is a way to do it. I mean, what evidence has been offered other than their claims that this is really bin Laden?
Well, who cares if it's... look, Islamic law is the reason why we have this problem. This sick ideology that says that Jews and Christians, that they have to ambush and kill the Jews and the infidels. Of course, the infidels, they're referring to the Christians. When they speak in the mosques, they say, first we're going to get the Saturday people and then the Sunday people. Again, talking about the Jews and the Christians. So this is a sick ideology. It calls for a dhimmi status, which means a second-class status, a lowly status, for anyone who is not a Muslim in an Islamic country, or a country that becomes an Islamic country. So we're talking about a very sick ideology, and Islamic law is a very repressive law. So why should we be respecting it? Would we respect Nazism? You know, when we killed Nazi officers during World War II, we didn't respect the Nazi ideology. We didn't make speeches saying that we're not at war with Nazism. It's important to understand that Islam is not a religion that is deserving of respect. And I know I'm maybe going out on a limb saying this. It's not politically correct to say that Islam itself is a problem. But I'm going to say it because yes. Islam is rotten to the core.
You take the Quran, you find the fallacies that are embedded in it, the Hadith, We've had some speakers come in and publicly point out some of the weird and bizarre even conjecture that's within the Quran and within the Hadith and the history of Islam, even to the place of child molestation of a young bride and the stories of molestation that have gone on. The fact that you can lie if you want to protect Islam, you have to be truthful, except if you're protecting Islam, then you can lie like crazy.
That's right.
In order to do this, and there is no penalty for it. You can just lie as long as it is a benefit. And of course, if you die because of your defense of Islam, there are 70 virgins waiting for you.
Yes, how about that one? I think that it behooves people to read the Quran themselves and see what we're talking about here. You just rattled off a long string of facts from the Quran, but most people don't know. You know, back in the times of the American Revolution, the embryonic American nation was threatened by the Barbary Pirates, which were the first terrorist organization, the first Islamic terrorist organization. And Thomas Jefferson decided to read the Quran. And the reason why he read the Quran was not to prepare this particular Jefferson Quran so that the Islamic congressman Keith Ellison could be sworn in on it in Congress. He read the Quran because he wanted to understand the Islamic mentality so that he would know how to respond. And he responded by creating the American Navy. And he sent them out, and in the Battle of Tripoli, the American Navy had its first victory against the Barbary Pirates. So it's important for people to know what the Quran actually says, because it is a clear and very present danger to the United States of America and all of Western civilization.
And you know, we've heard those words from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, and that's history in the making right there, in the very reasons of why the Marines were there.
Right. So people have to understand that the battle... They can have the rejoicing of today. I've seen the death of bin Laden, but people need to keep in mind that the struggle, the battle for Western civilization has only just begun.
We are going to be taking a break in a few short moments here, and I'm going to open our phone lines right now. 800-733-9829 if you'd like to talk with our guest, David Rubin. He's a man who's served as a mayor in Israel. He's a man who has had he's tasted of the pain of terrorism. He and his little son. Your son, was he seriously injured?
My son was wounded and was in critical in intensive care, not quite in critical condition, because the bullet did miss his brainstem.
Oh my!
But he was in intensive care.
Folks, if you can imagine this little strip of land called Israel that has become the focal point for the entire globe, when you see the horrendous attacks against the land of promise, and the people who are trying to have Israel trading off land for peace, when God said to Abraham that this was his promise to him. Folks, we're going to be talking about this in a few moments. We're going to take a break again, and we'll be coming back with David Rubin, our guest, talking about what's happened. And I'd like your feedback, ladies and gentlemen, as you heard about what's happened with bin Laden and his demise. And where do you think things are going from here? Do you think that there will be payback? Do you think there will be threats? Or, as someone said, they could even have a dirty bomb hidden somewhere that would be retaliation for this act against terror. We'll be right back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Anita Dittmann was just a little girl when the winds of Hitler and Nazism began to blow through Germany. By the time she was 12, the war had begun. Abandoned by her father, Anita and her mother were ultimately left to fend for themselves. Her teenage years were spent fighting for survival, yet learning to trust the one she discovered would never leave her nor forsake her. Her story is documented in the book Trapped in Hitler's Hell. The story is shocking and disturbing, yet hopeful and inspiring. It's an incredible story you'll never forget. To obtain your copy of Trapped in Hitler's Hell, send a donation of $16 or more to VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. You may also request the book by phone when you call in with your donation at 1-800-729-9829. Read the story of a young Jewish girl discovering the faithfulness of the Messiah in the midst of the Holocaust. Call 1-800-729-9829.
And welcome back to Crosstalk, where today we're talking with David Rubin, author of the new book, The Islami Tsunami. Islamic Tsunami. Yeah, that's a lot of words there to get together. But right now we're going to go to the phones here. We're going to talk with Richard, who's standing by in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Richard, you're on the air with David Rubin.
Hello. I'm wondering, you know, Bin Laden, you know, how did they get his DNA when they never got close to him? And why are they burying him at sea? I pray this is not a political stunt, but it's possible, because Obama's on his way out.
Okay, well, first of all, they do have the body. They did have the body. So that it wasn't too hard to identify him. Secondly, regarding him being so-called buried at sea, President Obama has been obsessed with showing that despite the fact that he was hunting for Bin Laden, that he shows the ultimate respect to what he calls the great religion of Islam, the Holy Quran, as President Obama says. Supposedly, this is a way of showing respect for the Islamic religion by burying him at sea within a certain amount of time. Frankly, as I said earlier, I don't see why he's so obsessed with showing respect for the Islamic religion. Well, maybe I do know why, but I'm not going to get into that here.
Okay, we're going to move right along here. We have Mike standing by in Wisconsin. Mike, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a similar concern about this missing body, and as an American taxpayer funding this military operation, shouldn't the U.S. people, wouldn't that bring complete closure if we all saw video or photographs or the actual body, or why didn't we bring it back, bring it someplace, bring Bin Laden someplace to justice before we even had to kill him? I just think we need to be much more critical in our evaluation of what the news media is saying to us.
Well, you know, one of the things, Mike, that I've heard through the news people is that if the body was to be placed anywhere, it would become a martyr's grave and people would be making pilgrimages to it. Whereby if he, as they said, they cleansed the body, put it on a flat board and wrapped it in a white sheet and slipped it into the water, whatever its purpose. But it does make sense from the standpoint of the fact of not having a martyr's place where people would make pilgrimages. The other question is what I've been hearing, of course, is how can a person, I mean, if his Islamic burial... they have to be facing east, and as the swirling waters oftentimes will spin around, I'm not too sure that they fulfilled that part of it. Do you, David?
Well, it has to be facing east, but that depends on where he is located.
Yeah.
The requirement isn't actually to face east. The requirement is to face Mecca.
Oh, okay.
So when the Muslims pray on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, there was a place where the two holy temples stood. They face with their rear ends facing the Holy of Holies because they need to be facing Mecca.
I see.
Saudi Arabia.
Let's go to David in Milwaukee as well. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Vic, and nice to be able to talk with you, David Rubin. I hope that your son has recovered fully, and I want to praise and commend both of you for being able to speak out against such an evil, false teaching, and in a society where everyone is so afraid to speak out against Islam and the teachings of this demonic faith. And I also had a question. When it comes to, you know, Osama bin Laden's death and how a Christian ought to respond and think about it, react to it, I was a little conflicted because obviously I know that, you know, there should be a sense of rejoicing in how David slayed Goliath and there was the wicked came to a cease. But yet I'm also remembering the verse that says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So if I'm just a little confused and seeing if you can answer that question.
Sure, I could handle that one. First of all, when what you're saying is very true. That when you know our biblical sages teach us that when the Red Sea parted and the Israelites walked across the Red Sea that had parted, and then the Egyptians went through, and of course the sea closed in on them, and they all perished. When the Israelites started singing and dancing, they got a message from the heavens saying, "Why are you celebrating about the death of my creation?" We have to always be a little bit wary that when we are understandably excited about killing an evil person, that we have to keep it in perspective and remember that even the most evil people are God's creation. However, it's certainly understandable that an evil person will be killed, and certainly I can't think of anyone more evil than bin Laden.
You know, as we think about again the perishing of those who perpetrate evil, and that is, those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Scripture tells us that. But if you remember, even in David's time, where there was, of course, the popularity of David, when Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s, there was a strange dichotomy there of rejoicing at the same time the solemnity of the issue of life and the taking of life. And it's a bittersweet situation, and we certainly understand that. Right now we're going to go to Burlington, Wisconsin, and talk with Edie. Edie, you're on the air.
Yeah, I found a couple of interesting. I seemed to remember back in 2001 and 2002, they were saying that bin Laden had died at that time. And Madeleine Albright and a couple of other high-up government people at that time did declare him dead. And they said that the details would be brought out at an opportune time. And I listened on Alex Jones today, and he felt much like I did, that this is not true. The photo circulating on the Internet, kind of like the birth certificate, seems to be pretty much a fake.
Well, that has been affirmed that it is a fake picture.
Yeah. And so it sounds very questionable. It sounds like it's coming at a time where Obama wants to be reelected. And there's just so many things about Obama that to me are unprecedented in terms of the lies and the obfuscation going on. And so I think it will provide us with a sense of relief, true or not. I think it will get the economy going again, which is what they want. But I'm glad to see that people around us, people at my husband's work and stuff, are very skeptical now, and I'm glad they are. That's exactly what I've been praying for, because I think God doesn't want his people to be deceived.
Thank you very much, Edie from Burlington. We're going to go to Pensacola, Florida right now and talk to Glenn. Glenn's online. Hi, Glenn.
Hello. I call mainly every time I get a chance, like on your program, which I understand is worldwide, to speak so much. to the Muslims as anyone else, because I'm sure a lot of them are mourning the death of this great man to them. But all I can say about bin Laden's death is, hooray, it's about time. But mainly I like to speak to the Muslims directly and say that their religion, I have read the Quran twice, and Islam is absolutely, unequivocally satanic. There is no such God as Allah, and the sooner they realize that, the better. And I hope that it's about time, too, that Christians stood up and start facing this evil that's spreading around the world, as I say in the old days, fire with fire.
Thank you much, Glenn, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, if I could just,
go right
just respond to that.
Sure.
I think that that people, it's not just a matter of understanding, not just a matter of being aware. Awareness is supposed to lead to action. And there are a lot of things that need to be done to counter this Islamic threat. It's not called an Islamic tsunami in the title of my book for no reason. It's something that spreads if it's not stopped. And there are a lot of things that Americans can be doing in these times. I explain it very, very clearly in my book, The Islamic Tsunami. What Americans can be doing to counter this threat. So it's good to call up the radio shows and to complain about it, but it's even more important to take action.
And one of the things, I know there's a big push, David, for Sharia law consideration. We've got justices that are considering the merits of Sharia law in some cases. Leaders of the Islamic regime even putting on demonstrations outside the White House wanting to promote Sharia law. And folks, your congressmen, your senators, your representatives need to know the heart of the American people. And this issue of saying Sharia law is even considerable when you see the abuse of women, when you see the violent nature of what Sharia law calls for, and then someone who blindly goes about claiming that Sharia law is meritorious and should be considered even in the governing of Islamic citizens in this country. Now, I thought when we had a country called the United States that we had one legal system, but all of a sudden now we have to have a different legal system for Islam? I can't buy that, David.
There are two Islamic tsunamis that I speak about in my book. The first Islamic tsunami is the Islamic tsunami of terrorism, which tries to intimidate people so that they'll be afraid to speak out when they're accused of being Islamophobes and when the Sharia system is being swept in under people's noses and behind their backs so they don't even realize what's going on. This is the system that's really dangerous. It's that second Islamic tsunami, which doesn't have the glamour and the drama of terrorism, and it doesn't have the immediate pain and the immediate horror of terrorism, but it is much more dangerous in the long term.
We're going to go to Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hi, Vic. I just wanted to, first of all, this Osama bin Laden thing, I consider it a non-event because he's a dime a dozen. He dies, somebody else takes his place. But beyond that, and more importantly, when Jesus comes back, he's going to punish the nations for how they treated Israel and parted up the land. And we cannot be involved in that. That is at the gathering of the nations in the future, it says in Joel 3:2. And just a few verses before that, it talks about the sun and moon turning dark and as blood in the terrible day of the Lord. That means it's the end times then when Jesus returns like a lion. He came as a lamb last time, and he's going to punish the nations for what they did to Israel this time. So anybody who's in favor of dividing up that land is four square against Jesus Christ.
You know something, Brad? We have seen horrendous things happening every time something has been done against Israel, national disasters. Natural disasters, even to the property owned by some of our presidents. If you look through the history of what's been going on, every time something's been done against Israel, it seems like a curse follows. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk. Stay tuned.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. I've heard many people say, Pastor Rick Warren, He must have just gotten off base after he wrote his book, Purpose Driven Life, because that was really a good book. Was it really a good book? I've recently gone back and been studying the book, and I have found that Rick Warren mentions positively three Fabian socialists in that book, Purpose Driven Life. He mentions George Bernard Shaw, Aldous Huxley, and Bertrand Russell. He also mentions no less than nine authors that promote mysticism. We see that on page 27, 31, 32, pages 88 to 89, pages 102 to 103, pages 108 again, page 269, page 193, and page 285. Positively mentions no less than nine mystics. The reality is Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life book was bad then, and what he's doing now is completely unbiblical. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House.
And welcome back to Crosstalk, as we're visiting today with David Rubin, author of The Islamic Tsunami, also a man who's held office in Israel, served as a mayor in Samaria. We're going to be going right now to phone calls. We have about 8 minutes left here in this last quadrant. We're going to go right now to Madison, Wisconsin, and talk with Danny. Danny, you're on the air with David Rubin. Hello, Danny.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It was a connection. First of all, I wanted to say I'm sorry to hear what happened to his son. I think that's a terrible, terrible thing.
You're sorry to hear what now? Say that again.
I'm sorry to hear what happened to his son. I think that's a terrible, terrible thing.
You mean the things that he did to our country?
What his son, David Rubin's son.
Oh, yeah, okay. I understand now. Yes.
The other thing is, I was interested in finding out from the mayor the different levels of terrorism is, and hold on, we could have one more after this, where you start with the smallest cell, and he can explain that so I can kind of understand where it grows from. This is my first time ever even experiencing that. And the other one is I was going to make comment that, you know, I think that they would have done a lot better putting this guy's body on an island and watch all the terrorists head that way. And hey, we got ourselves a bunch of terrorists heading towards an island. Let's take care of the matter.
David,
okay.
Well,
Vic, tell me if you understood the question the same way. I think he was asking how the terrorist cells are developed, how the organizations are developed.
I guess he's starting with the simplistic and how it gets so complex.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. So one thing that that the terrorist organizations like to they like to present it as being terrorist attacks that are spontaneous, mm-hmm. Spontaneous outbreaks of terrorism. You know, they call the terrorist movements in Israel the Intifada, which means the rebellions. They try to present it as spontaneous man-in-the-street rebellions. They are not. They are developed by organized and very well-funded terrorist organizations such as the Hamas, such as Al-Qaeda, such as the Fatah and the Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the Islamic Jihad. All of these Islamic terrorist organizations are very well funded and organized by the oil wealth in the Islamic world, and they are also very well organized right from the top. All of the terrorist attacks come directly from the top echelons of the organizations, and they carry it out in a very efficient and organized way.
We're going to go to James, who is standing by in, believe it is, Pelkey, Michigan. We're standing by just a moment before we get clearance on that call. There we go. James in Pelkey, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm driving through the snowflakes up here.
Oh, my, up in the North Country. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Uva Paiva.
Uva Paiva.
I just had a quick observation how I think it shows that the American culture in general is kind of mixed up, because there's just widespread, I'm speaking in general, not necessarily Christian culture, but there's widespread jubilation over the demise of Bin Laden, which I'm a bit skeptical whether it actually happened today or if he's been on ICE for a decade, or, you know, that question is up in the air. But at the same time, when George Tiller was put out of action, there was the black flags all over the country and everybody was mourning. It's kind of a disconnect, it seems, because, you know, in my opinion, Tiller was as bad as or worse than Bin Laden, but the country was, you know, mourning, in deep mourning when he was put out of action, and then there's jubilation when Obama's, or Bin Laden's put out of action. It kind of shows a disconnect in the American culture, I think, and how preborn children are dehumanized.
James, thank you so much for those comments from Pelkey, Michigan. We're going to go to Erie, Pennsylvania now and talk with Daniel. Daniel, you're on the air.
My question is, I'm going to have it real fast. You know, there's going to be conspiracy theories running wild, as far as that Alex Jones, I know, and probably there's a couple of them, Tex Mars, he'll be running with.
These are people that are known for their conspiracy theories on practically everything.
And one of the main things they're going to probably be hitting on, they're going to probably be saying, if that was Osama bin Laden, how come there's only, including him, four people at the compound, including that woman? That was all? You know, they're going to say, yeah, well, that wasn't him.
Well, you know, the issue again of whether or not it was the spirit of bin Laden has been sown like a crop of wild oats all across this world. And there are sympathizers that have become sympathetic to these causes, people that will take their little children and put explosives on them and blow them to pieces, people like the alleged bin Laden, who actually, according to testimony regarding his capture, put a woman between he and the assailant to use her as a shield to protect himself. Isn't it interesting that if 70 virgins and all of the blessings of the so-called Islamic heaven were so much to look forward to, why wasn't bin Laden eager to go?
Exactly. Okay, I really cleared it up. I really believe they got the guy. He wasn't unknown. I mean, God knew where he was all the time.
Well, they certainly put forth a lot of search and effort and the DNA and the whole thing. And if it is a ruse or whatever, if he's already been gone, at least it is one down. But how many more to go? That's the frightening thing there. David,
frankly, I think that I would agree that bin Laden at this point, assuming that he's been killed, he's irrelevant. He has spread his seeds throughout the Islamic world, and his ideology is there, and there are going to be other people to take over what he started. So I think that the rejoicing and the New Year's Eve type celebrations are premature.
David Rubin, it's always a privilege to have you on deck, and we'll look forward to visiting again as we see what's happening in Israel.
Thank you. Good talking to you again.
Get that book again, The Islamic Tsunami, and you can go to Amazon.com and get a copy. Thanks for being with us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.